The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated, but if you need to have access to your wallet, pull that out before you sit down. Because this children's sermon is going to be about, well, not shaking down the congregation, but offering you an opportunity to make a contribution. The money that will be raised in this little exercise, this super bowl, will go to Lutheran Social Services for to their food pantry. So if you have a can of soup along with you or other canned goods, you can put those in the buckets, or if you have cash. Now, I want to ask you, you guys know what ball game we're playing today, right?
No.
Do you know what it's about? What is it? The Super Bowl. And do you know the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl? The Eagles and the Patriots. Maya, would you come here, please? Where's Maya? Maya gets this one. Ian, would you come here, please? Hannah's sick today, but this is Hannah's soup bucket, and Ian is stepping in for Hannah today. You're going to stand right here, this way. And this is the deal. We're going to see who we think should win the game today. Now, I don't have any prejudice, but I'll just tell you this little story. I looked in the Bible to see what the Bible would tell me about who should win. 33 times eagles are mentioned in the Bible. Not so many. Zero Patriots. So I have the first contribution to the bucket. I'm going with the Eagles. And I want you to hold your hand up and put your money in your hand. And these kids are going to come out and get your contributions and bring them up and put them in the correct bucket, the correct soup bowl. Okay? So hold your money up, hold your, and you go out and get it. Go out and get it from them and ask them where it should go. Should it go to the Eagles or should it go to the Patriots? Oh, okay. All right, here's some more. Here's one. Go around on the outside. All right, go all the way to the back. Hurry up, all the way to the choir. Okay, come on, let's start walking down the... Go out here. Okay, where do you want that to go?
One each.
Okay. Okay. One here. All right.
Here they go.
Kenny?
Where?
Eagles. Thanks.
All right. Oh, here's some. Here's one. Here, take two. You can take that. Okay, come on up to the choir. Go up there.
Yeah. One for the Eagles, one for the...
Okay, I'll take the Eagles ones. Here's Patriots. Wait, here's Patriots. Okay. Those are Patriots. Your whole handful. All right, did we get everybody? I think so. So now we go to Sunday school. So these can go underneath the altar. Put that those buckets under.
I think he goes on.
I don't know. We'll have to. We'll tell you after. You'll find out this afternoon. All right, let's go off to Sunday school. You guys can go to Sunday school if you want. Just follow along.
The first reading. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither. And the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He who does not faint or grow weary, his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 147 responsively. Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise.
The Lord heals Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord counts the number of the stars and calls them all by their names.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom.
The Lord
sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth, making grass to grow upon the mountains.
God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry.
God is not impressed by the might of a horse and has no pleasure in the speed of a runner.
But finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love. Hallelujah!
Glory to God, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not by my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Word of God, word of life.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were weak and possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, when it was still very dark, he got up and went out of the desert to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Well, there's not very many Lutheran churches where icons are as prominently displayed as they are here at St. Peter's. We usually have these two main icons, the ruler of the universe and the Madonna, Mary, and the Christ child. And on this far wall is the Trinity. This icon is Abraham and the angels who came to visit under the tree of Mamre. But because it is such a popular and so filled with symbolism, we usually call this the Holy Trinity. This Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this icon. And today, on this wall, is the icon of the Transfiguration, when Jesus went up the mountain, was transfigured in front of Peter and James and John, and with him Moses and Elijah appearing. And next Sunday is the Feast of the Transfiguration, when we will hear more about that. This icon I brought off of my office wall. I'll just see it. This is called Peter. I'll hold it for a minute. Peter and his holy spouse. And I thought, oh, perfect for today. The story about Peter and his mother-in-law. Peter is shown with the two main symbols for Peter, the keys, which you see on all of our windows of Peter, and the scroll, Scroll is a sign in icons. The holding of a scroll is always the apostles. The scroll is a sign of wisdom. And his holy spouse, holding in her hands bread and salt, symbols of hospitality, the work of the one who welcomes to the home. We don't know the holy spouse's name. We don't know the name of her mother either, the story that we hear in the gospel today, unnamed woman. But if we were going to make an icon of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, we would show her also with salt and bread, signs of hospitality. That was her job in that household, to provide hospitality. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says that the wives, the apostles had believing wives. And the other reference that we hear about the mother-in-law or the wife of Peter is in, by reference, in today's gospel. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And it goes to reason that if he had a mother-in-law, must have had a wife, even though she doesn't get a name, neither does the mother-in-law. But listen to this short story and see what you notice. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. What I noticed in that little story is the tender personal touch of Jesus. He took her by the hand and lifted her up. He didn't say anything. He simply reached out and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Do you long to feel God's presence in your life? In times of fear or illness, in times of trouble or worry, do you long for God to take you by the hand? When you're feeling down or depressed, when you feel you're caught in the grip of a demon, grip of evil, do you long for Jesus to lift you up? All through the scriptures, we see God doing just that. The psalm that we just read together, Psalm 147, says, "The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And again, in that same psalm, "The Lord lifts up the lowly." And then there's another psalm where it says, "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down." God always reaches out and takes the side of those who have no one else to help them. God lifts us up when we are at our lowest. And we can depend on that. We can rely on that promise of God. One of our communion hymns today on Eagle's Wings, I didn't choose it. Doris did. And I didn't select that scripture reading that we had this morning either. It just happened that on Eagle's Wings is one of the themes in scripture, and that this song on Eagle's Wings was written by Mike Jonkas. We were in college together, and we were in college at the same time. I should say it like that. He was writing this song. He was not a music major. He was a engineer, but he loved writing music. And he wrote this uplifting song of hope and comfort. No matter how far down you are, we are safe under God's wing. No matter how far we sink, God will lift us up. No matter how alone or forsaken we might feel, God holds us in the palm of his hand. I'm reminded of that story. And when we hear the story of Peter's mother-in-law, how Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. And that's what Jesus does for us, takes us by the hand, lifts us up. But that's not the end of the story. Not for the mother-in-law, nor is it the end of the story for us. Mark goes on to say that the fever left her and she began to serve them. We're reading in Greek the word diakoneia, deacon, to serve. This unnamed woman is the first deacon of the church, the first one to serve because of Jesus' action in her life. And that's our story too. When Jesus heals us, when Jesus lifts us up, we are freed to serve. We are set free from whatever has been holding us down. We have been set free to serve. There are times in our lives when we need to simply rest in that knowledge of God's love for us, to nestle into the comfort of God's protecting wings, like we heard in that first reading from Isaiah. But there's more. That healing touch is not only comforting, but compelling, encouraging us, freeing us to serve. When Jesus lifts us up from the low places, he sets us free to serve. We are freed from things that hold us down, and we are freed for service. When have you experienced the healing touch of God? When has a healing hand clothed in human flesh reached out to raise you up? Maybe a hand of a parent or a spouse or a friend that has prepared food for you or cleaned your house or soothed your troubled brow. Maybe that hand has held yours in love and in prayer. Maybe that hand has pulled you along or pushed you ahead, given you encouragement and strength when you needed that extra support, or pointed out new and even challenging ways for you to be a better human being. I'd like to share two examples, recent examples of hands reaching out. Last Thursday, I was with a group of pastors and the bishop's staff and the bishop up at the our church camp up at Luther Glen, which is up in the San Bernardino Mountains. And one of the pastors there was experiencing some physical crisis and some professional crisis as well. And so the bishop said, "We're going to pray for you right now." And he had her sit down pulled a chair from the circle and put it in the middle and invited the rest of us to put our hands on her, put our hands on her shoulders and on her head. And the bishop prayed that she would be lifted up, prayed that she would be freed from these troubles, from this physical trouble, from that she'd be healed from that, and lifted up, taken by the hand, lifted up in order to be freed and serve again. A second story, well, stories. In the past few weeks, we have experienced some hands being held out in love and in prayer, with Elizabeth and Violet and Phil and Jerry. It's a lot of death for a congregation in a week and a half or 2 weeks. We stood around their beds, laid hands on them in prayer, traced a cross of holy oil on their forehead, just like they received in baptism. And daughters and sons, spouses and best friends reached out a hand, traced that cross, kissed a goodbye, prayed for peace and comfort. Precious Lord, lead them home. We prayed and held hands, and the Lord lifted them up and took them home. There are healing and helping hands that so often hold ours, so often rest on our shoulders. But think of this as well. The healing hand of God is your hand. It's your hand that you reach out to others. That's God's hand. Mark tells us that the healing hand of Jesus was open and outstretched to all and to any in need. He healed the crowds that were gathered around the door. He taught them about the kingdom of God, and he offered them hope. He silenced the demons that cried out, "There is no hope." Jesus silenced those demons. And he called to others to share in this ministry. Jesus was constantly reaching out his hands to lift up, even in the face of forces that intended to tear down. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom, where the poor are cared for, the hungry are fed, the lowly are lifted up, and the hopeless are filled with hope, all through the work of our hands, doing God's work. Today we're invited to let ourselves be taken by the hand and lifted up. And today we are invited to join our hands with others, reaching out and lifting up others in healing and in service. When Peter and the other disciples found Jesus that morning, they said to him, "Everyone has been searching for you." Indeed, everyone is searching for Jesus, the great physician of hope and healing. We are searching for healing, for wholeness, for that hand that would reach out and save us. And we reach out our hand to receive the bread of life, the Eucharist, the prayer of thanksgiving that is Jesus for us, reaching out to receive this bread of life that is wholeness and healing, a gift of life given for you. Open your hands to receive God's grace. Open your hands so that they may be put to service for all of God's people. And hold us, dear Lord, in the palm of your hand. And lift us up, free us to serve. Amen. Carol Otterstad is going to share a stewardship moment with us.
Good morning. My name is Carol Otterstad, and I'd like to take a moment to introduce myself to those of you who have seen me, who may know me by name, but for one reason or another, we haven't become acquainted. Darlene asked me to share my journey with you here at St. Peter's by the Sea and what being a member of St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church means to me. Let me start by saying that like many people, and particularly folks that seem to be drawn to St. Peter's, my parents came to San Diego from the Midwest, Minnesota in particular, compliments of the U.S. Navy, with my older brother and sister. I was born quite a bit later here in San Diego. My parents joined St. Peter's by the Sea, and that was the beginning of a really special relationship between myself, St. Peter's, and what we refer to here as church family. You see, there were many other transplants, and they too had left their own families and had come to San Diego to build their lives. My parents became best friends with Dr. John and Carol Maynard, and as a result, we spent our holidays together as one another's families. Along with other close church members and neighbors. At Christmas, I was fortunate enough to have a very hallmark upbringing. with all of us gathered around Dr. Maynard's piano at his home to sing Christmas carols. We shared Easter dinner and Thanksgiving dinners together, and we always gave praise to God. Dr. Maynard was truly a man of God, and his influence was on our family was profound. We all stood at the table and sang the doxology together while gathered around the dinner table. These are truly beautiful memories of the weaving of our church life and the lifelong friendships, which were a direct result of my parents' effort to create a sense of family with people who shared a common love for God. I'm sure that this was repeated in many homes of the many families you know and some that you don't know, the Ned and Shirley Titlow family, Earl and Ida Edwards, Bruce and Marilyn Tippy, Leon and Vi Mattson, Ed and Ethel Reed, the Ted Johnsons, Harold and Grace Olson, George and Bev Mitchell, Henry and Dorothy Salibi, Ted Salibi, the Dorings, the Nesbitts, the Shumways, the Littles. The list goes on, and I apologize to anybody's name I didn't count, because these are people who made me who I am. The Aquists, the Morgans, the Austins, the Millers, Pat McGregor, Ann Rosser, the Ziegler's, the Schobergs, the Sprungmans, and later on, Aid and Jane Christensen's, the Faddens, the Hoffners, the Cruz, the Silvas, the Thompsons, Joan Alton, the Boyds, David and Barbara Haas, Mary Lou Peterson, and Ivy Fancy, and more, to whom I apologize for not mentioning. When somebody was ill, the church ladies, who at the time were mostly stay-at-home moms, would prepare meals and bring them over to the family. If there was a need, it was always filled through the church. It wasn't just walls. It wasn't just a steeple. You looked inside the door, and there were God's people. All of these people had a role in shaping who I've become and the life that God has blessed me with. The church organist, the choir director, my Sunday school teachers, and the vacation Bible school teachers. They all encouraged us to be good people, children of God, who would share the good word and do good works. Over the years, I have seen most of the pastors, starting with Pastor Banco, who baptized me, and Pastor Ken Litton, who confirmed me. We are so blessed to have Pastor Karen Marone as our pastor here at St. Peter's. She provides vision, and her unassuming personality has drawn more and more people to join this congregation. Our vicar, Thomas, is a gem who is branching out in the outreach. The reason that I return to St. Peter's is that this is home for me. The reason that I return, it's home for me. When I look around and I see the friendly smiles, it gives me a deep sense of contentment, and I know that I belong here. St. Peter's by the Sea is a special place. In 2003, I decided to open my own independent real estate office, and at that time, I was trying to come up with the name that reflected this wonderful setting that I live in. Came up with 10 fictitious business names related to the beach or the sea, but when it came down to the final decision, I chose By the Sea Realty. It just seemed like a logical extension of my church life. I decided that my first closing with By the Sea Realty, I should really make a larger contribution in the offering plate, in praise for the wonderful beginning that God had provided. 10 years later, when the church voted and decided to undergo a major remodel, I was very concerned. I was so concerned that I stood in my backyard and I prayed that God would help me, as the church was asking us to prayerfully consider what we could pledge and to think creatively. I was very unsure about the idea of the building, and I liked the idea of paying for it even less. However, as I stood in my backyard and I was contemplating this, and also what Pastor Karen had asked us to consider, God gave me a brilliant idea. There was a parking problem that had just started about a block away, and it was impacting the street near Point Loma High School. All of a sudden, it came to me, what if somebody needs a parking space? I have a secure parking space, so on Friday afternoon, I put an ad in Craigslist for rent, and on Monday, I had two surfer dudes parking their boat in my parking space for 2 years at $100 a month. Voila! This wasn't my idea. This was God giving me the idea. So I told the surfers that they were contributing to the church building at St. Peter's with their monthly checks. As it turns out, the remodel has been a great blessing to the church and to the community, and I'm glad that God helped me overcome my hesitation. Over the years, St. Peter's has evolved, yet many things remain the same. This church has always drawn wonderful people to it, wonderful servants of God, and without them, this church would not be the same. The people here make this church what it is. Thank you for letting me share my experience with St. Peter's with you this morning, and I leave you with the following. To be a good steward means that you take good care. You take care of the things that have been entrusted to you. As stewards of these things, we are called upon to use them wisely. This includes our money, our gifts, and our unique and special talents that God has bestowed upon each one of us individually. I was always told that God's given me special gifts, and it was up to me to utilize them to the very best of my ability, because God could have given them to someone else, but instead he gave these precious gifts to me. To that end, I often think of the parable which says, to whomever much is given, of him much will be required, and to whom much was entrusted, of him more will be asked. Thank you for making St. Peter's by the Sea a special church and the church that I call home.